I think I'll be far better off than today. Can I be honest with you? You know, when we think about God, we have all kinds of things around God. I'm just telling you what I feel. I don't know about you. You know, sometimes something happened to me. I would say maybe God just come through the back and you never know what God will do. You see that kind of thing? You never know what God will do. So when Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, I know what Jesus will do. He'll go to the cross. He'll die for me. He'll take care of me. He'll make the water wine. He may last me, but he'll take care of me. But is the Father like that? Is the Father like Jesus? Or the other way around? Is Jesus like the Father? Jesus is saying, I am. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's what my Father will do to you. Now, some of you are here, you don't know what I'm talking about because you never heard about Jesus. I mean, you mean the Father is like Jesus? Jesus will cry at the graveyard knowing that he's going to raise the man from the dead? Is that what God will do? Does God weep in my situation? You know, God is all powerful. God is all sufficient. But does he feel what I feel? Does he participate in my pain? Years ago, I told God, I said, God, you don't feel pain. You are a spirit. You know the answer back to me? Who made the pain nerves that make you to feel the pain? I have to set the threshold for your pain so I know what pain is, to set the threshold for your pain, to feel the pain. Just keep short. I mean, you can't argue for that. I mean, it's the one who made the pain standard for pain. So if you begin to see God as Father in the light of Jesus, it makes all the difference in the world. I see how that struggle till now. I'm going to be honest with you, you know. Let's just be honest here. You know, to think that, I look at Jesus. I can see this. Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Next thing he said, my Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. You see, the Father, not the God forsaken, we're not sure. But the Father, we can always commend our spirit to his hands. We can always put things in our Father's hand because he cares about us. Are we here? You know, this teaching I'm doing, I'm going down deep within you. I want God to set some things inside of our heart because really, Christianity is deep. It's inside. It's internal. It's not just outside first. We like to have our circumstances change, things to happen around us, but much more. There's much, much more happening within us than outside of us. If you have the rest on the inside, the rest outside will be a matter of course. So let's go a step further. Next verse. Don't be, I'm in my Father and the Father in me that we are together. The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Now follow this. Tonight I'm changing gear a little bit tonight. Who does the works? The Father. So all those works that Christ did, that was the Father at work. You agree with me? Do you agree with me? The words he spoke, the Father engineered those words. The works he did, the Father made them happen. Now, let's go further. Next verse. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now, these works, they are what? They are the Father walking through Jesus. Give us verse 10 again. But the Father who dwells in me, he operates, does the works. Do you understand that? We have that in mind, that Jesus, what he did, the Father walked through him. Are we following? I need you to have that in your back of your mind. And the word he spoke. Now, let's go to verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, now follow now, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. Or let's say it from what we learn. The works that the Father does in me, will he also do through me? Does that make some sense? See, when we look at this word, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Staggering is unbelievable. I can't do what Jesus did. Let's be honest here. Can we be honest here? But the Father can walk through us. The Father walked through Jesus. That's why he did. You know, many of us have decided that Jesus did all this. He did it himself. Why didn't he do it when he was 25 years old? What did he do when he was 20 years old? Huh? Same Jesus. So it's the father that walked through him. In fact, his first miracle, he told the mother, my hour has not come, remember? And if you look at all the works of Jesus, they are not that he was doing something. He just speak. At best, touch, and then he speaks, right? It's all that, just that. Speak and touch. Speak, and that's what he was doing. He was not carrying cement, not doing something, putting something there, struggling with something. He's just not doing that. Now, I want us to major on this verse and then go from there. See, this particular verse will now bring about everything else in John 14, 15, 16. I want you to be here. I need your attention here now. So, please listen to this. From this verse, my life is meaningful on the earth now. My life is meaningful. I'm not just here to be born, get a job, go to school, get a job, get married, have children, and then die. If you notice something in Genesis 5, it's about Abraham begat children and he died. Enoch begat, he disappeared. Methuselah begat and he died. You see, the whole human story is you come to this life, you like everybody else, die like everybody else. Are we here? So, really, life is meaningless. They said they won't forget you. Before they leave the burial ground, they've forgotten you. I give you an example. When my mother-in-law died, we got to the burial ground and we... No, please don't mind me. I'm weird. Don't mind me. So we were at the burial ground and all the life we've lived with Mama, been in her room, around her, talked, this kind of a thing, and all that was going through my mind when we were at the burial ground. And then we left there to the event center. And then they forced me to dance. We were dancing, everybody was happy, and of course, life well lived, but I was thinking, wow, if that is all there is to life, honestly, it's a waste. If this life is just like this life, I better come as a dog. At least I won't go to school. I won't walk. I will only ask for one prayer point. Put me in VI where I can eat better dog food. And they have a good cage for me. And when I die, they have their respects. And I don't have to join Molue, join Kazi, do thesis, do PhD. I don't have to. So life is just, it's just like Solomon said, vanity upon vanity. Okay, you open a shop, another shop again, another shop again, another shop again. Then you make money, your children come and take the money and use it for something else you never plan to use it for. Right? But no. See, from this verse, Jesus started talking about our life, that our life has much more meaning. That now we can do something more with our life. You may be arguing what I'm saying now. Do you know that at the end of the Bible, they celebrate those who die? Not because they live a life. 14th Revelation, verse 13. Take a look. Hallelujah. This is, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who died where? In the Lord. From now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from what? Not of just going to school, get a job, have children. But and their works follow them. So we are not coming to this life and live this life empty. Must say, you leave everything behind. That's not true. You don't go to heaven without something. We don't go to our cars, our houses, but our works follow us. So these works are very to our lives very definite. They're very definite. So what we have left when we leave this planet, it's not all that we have accolade. You can't take a certificate to heaven, but certain things will follow you, and that's what Christ was now describing, your works. He said, the works that I do, so certain works will follow us. We take some things out of this life. Hallelujah. And the older I get, the more I'm getting serious about this. I'm telling myself that if my works will follow me, I better get down to business. I better let almost no week pass me by without something about these works. Because when I finish over here, you know, I learned that from secondary school. I went to secondary school and I asked myself one day, what is am I taking out of secondary school? I won't take my test and go out to see. I'll take WAEC out. I just know that. I mean, everything said and done, whether I join printers, I join press club, or I join sociocultural club, or I join geography club, doesn't matter. What I take out of school, and I saw it. So the moment I saw it, and I'm from three, from four. When I saw it, I told myself, oh boy, let's not waste our time over here. I go to the class, sit down in the class, and ask myself, is this in the syllabus or not in the syllabus? If not in the syllabus, So I began to read for syllabus. I started looking beyond the school. Of course, I was an odd person out, but when result came out, I got the best result. My principal didn't like me. The day he saw me after the result, he carried me in his car to the school. You know why he carried me? Not because I'm going to keep the thing. I've taken the best thing out of school going out. My friends that did the cultural dance that didn't pass very well, they took everything out. So you can live a whole life that has no meaning. One more time. Let's read the verse again. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. Why are they blessed? That they may rest from their labor. What kind of labor? And their works follow them. Now, I want you to think, we are looking at the works. Now, be with me. I need your attention. This. You know, in one of my jobs that sometimes it's quite discouraging, is that I've been discussing things people don't talk about, and that's not part of the normal system. Like, I'm talking like this now. People don't talk like that. They don't talk like your works and everyone. They talk about this life and economy. Sometimes I'm just like a bystander. Why? Rest from your labors, works that follow you. You know, just this afternoon, I read, can I take it? The Lord appeared to somebody. Can I think? The Lord appeared to him. That was 1953. I think so. I read the story. And he said, please be faithful in what I'm asking you to do, for the time is short. I said, time is short? That's about how many years ago? As far as everyone is concerned, time is short. I'm not talking about dying tomorrow. No. If you live already, yes, time is short. Think about it. Secondary school, when you're secondary school and primary school, you look like yesterday, right? So, yeah. So works. These works are important. When Paul was talking about rapture, talking about, you know, when Christ will come back again, this is how he concluded. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Take a look at this. Works. Verse 57. That's from verse 56. Okay. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Next verse. But thanks be to God. Okay. No. Let's go back. Let's go back to about verse 52 thereabout. When he's talking about rapture, when our body will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Next verse. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible has put on incorruption and mortal put on immortality, there shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Next verse. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades or hell, where's your victory? Let's go on. For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just stop there. You see, what do we respond? How do we respond to all this? That Christ is going to come again, he's going to break through the air, we're going to be changed. So what? Look at this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the. That's the best response to it. Not by saying, oh, Baola Makubai, are you Iliason? It's not more Iliason. It's a workhouse. Are you hearing me? Do something with our lives over here. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to a disciple in my name, you will not lose your reward. Hallelujah. See. Be ye steadfast, immovable. He didn't say, go and wait for death to die. Since Christ is coming, go and hide. He said, no. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abandon. Notice, exam is coming. So prepare for exam very well. Praise God, somebody. Knowing that your labor is not in vain. Let's read in the Amplified Bible. Amplified Classic. Can you give us Amplified Classic quickly? Thank you. It's going to be small like that. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable. Always, listen to this, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. Boy, that beats my record. Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not in futile, it's not futile, is never wasted or to no purpose. Sometimes, the office we are working in, some of the files, they are of no purpose. Are you hearing me? You store them. What's the one going to keep them for? You know, some files like this been there for 35 years. Who's going to, you know? Or also, it's on a computer. You just want them just get wiped out, and it's not really necessary. You know, sometimes there was a store upstairs. We went to go and check. I was there last week. I was store at church. And we had all kinds of things there that we just packed there that just been there for a couple of years. Thank God they've cleaned it up. I go down there and I say, that is good. And I told myself, if it's good, why not use it since? I mean, if it's forgotten for 3 or 4 or 5 years, it's no longer good. You know? So it's never wasted. But our life, whatever we do, never wasted. So it's important for us to see that the work of the Lord, serving the Lord. In fact, can I tell you this? Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Take a look. Verse 10. Paul was talking about the same thing again. Can you look up? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I mean, thank you. Now, we're not going to be judged to go to hell. No, this place is not to go to hell. But it's just like when you go to school, all of you are passing out. All of you get stuff. But now, we're going to look at how you have done it well and how far have you gone with it. You know what I'm expecting when I get to heaven? I'm just confessing my dreams. That when I get to heaven, they spend maybe 10,000 years just giving my reward. Just keep clapping. Just keep. I want that kind of a thing. I want to do so much that pursues my mind almost every day. When I wake up in the morning, I ask myself, "What's this life for?" Some of us don't worry about that, but some of us worry about that. What's this life for? So that's what about. So let's go back to John 14:12 now. So you cannot see John 14:12 is very important. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father. You know, I was just thinking of this verse in the realm of miracles alone. Miracles. Oh, we can do miracles. But no. The Lord started tapping me and said, stop. I'm asking you to engage in what I'm doing. And now I understood the parable of the talent. It's never talent. Is the treasure of the master. Is what himself trades with that he's given us. Am I right? It's his money, not your money. He said he gave them talent. So we're going to give account for what he gave us. So he's given us treasure of his works. That, you know, the reason why that master, when he came back and he saw that they have turned the 5 to 5, making 10, was the fact that he saw that himself could have done that. Remember? He saw himself in that guy. Oh, wonderful, faithful, fruitful servant. Then the one that kept it, he saw that if I was here, I would not do that. I would keep it in the account somewhere. It bring interest for me. So I want us to see something very important now. I'm changing this old thinking now from just doing miracles to He wants us to do certain works. Now listen to this. This is what I saw. I saw this. That Jesus, when he was here as a whole person, his hands will do certain things. His leg will take him somewhere. His eyes will see certain things. His hair will hear certain things. He will do things. And the Lord said, we are the body of Christ now. What did he call us now? We are the body of Christ. So just like God assigned different parts of Jesus to do different things when he was here physically, he's now taking us as his body to give us different paths. You know, in fact, when I look at this verse, I was thinking, miracles. Then it dawned on me that I can't travel like Jesus now from village to village, city to city, and preach and heal. I'm not that kind of person. I mean, you're walking somewhere, you can't travel anywhere. But he has given you a deposit of particular works he wants you to do from all his works. Let me give you an idea. Remember, Jesus, when he was here, he never fed the widows. Not true? He gave to the poor. We never knew how he did it. Of course, we saw him one day, he was sitting down in the church, and he saw a woman, a widow, give him money. But shortly after he left, greater works broke out in that area. You could see the apostles have a giant charity fund for widows. Am I right? Who taught them that? Christ never did that. He never had a widow fund. They just came up and just took off with that, and they were several thousand of widows. They were taking care of them. And Christ never did that from our record we have of him. Of course, he helped the poor. You can see that the apostles in Jerusalem became a custodian of Jesus' talent, of what he would do, because in that city of Jerusalem, there are so many widows. Christ traveled over Galilee, but when they were settled down in that place, Christ said, this is work I want you to do that is very critical and so important right now. So each one of us over here, God has put us in our life, in our place, in our region, with certain ability, personality, and experience for us to do is walk through us. Now, we will live a normal life. We'll go to work. We'll come back. We'll marry. We'll have children. But on top of that, we're going to do his works. Can we say amen to that in Jesus' name? So that when we leave this veil of life, when we move out of this, it won't just be mubamuwa. Are you hearing me? So what we are discussing now is Christ is saying that you do my works and you will do greater works than this, each one of us. You know, there's so much about purpose, what I was born to be. It's more than that now. It's just more than I was born to be a business person, born to be this and to care for people. No, I'm saying I'm doing the works of Jesus. Say that with me. I'm doing the works of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I am a human being, but more, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And wherever I find myself, I do the works of Jesus. He said, the work that I do, he will do also. And then he said this, that is quite ghastly. He said, and greater works than this. And somebody said, let's start with the works before I talk about greater works. Start with O level before you talk about A level. So let's get to the works. Hallelujah. Let's look at Jesus' works. Can we look at some verses in the Bible about Jesus' works? What he did when he was here? Let's go to Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, since that's present continuous, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So if you look at Jesus, when he was here, somebody looking at him, Matthew, look at and say, Jesus was busy explaining the word of God. Second, he was proclaiming the word of God. And third, he was restoring people's life to normal. Those who are diseased, those who are broken. In fact, that's what Matthew said about him in action. But let's look at himself giving us his own manifesto when he came up to become what he was today. He went to his hometown and took out the Bible and announced what he was here to do. Let's see that. Luke 4. That's Matthew 4. Let's look at Luke 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, that's Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Please follow me in this story now. So he opened the book, he picked the book. And next verse. And he was handed the book, Prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Christ was about to describe his mission, his life. What did he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Can you see something about Jesus' life? The poor was on his mind. I mean, that's on top of it first. the masses of the people that are struggling. They are on his mind first. And to give them good news. That's why crowds upon crowds followed him. That's why the government didn't like him so much. Because the thing was taking people away from whatever. And he said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want you to see the target audience of Jesus. The poor, the brokenhearted. Can you imagine leaving the whole of heaven to come and heal the brokenhearted? I mean, remember, the works that I do, you do also. So, targeting the poor, the brokenhearted, to proclaim what? To the captives, recovery of sight, to the blind, liberty, those who are oppressed. Can I surprise you? The first major public work of Jehovah on the earth in the Bible was to set slaves free. Am I right? The first major public work of Jehovah God. Of course, he worked with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this first public major work was to what? But before that, he did a major national work of feeding the world through Joseph, the poor. Am I making? See, he gave the dream to Pharaoh to get the money to feed the poor. They were not Christian at that time. You hear me? The blind, the oppressed. Now, let's go and read this Isaiah he read. You know, he just read it and stopped. Let's look at next verse. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So he stopped there. Look at next verse. And he closed the book. And he gave back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Look at what he said next. And what did he do? And he began to say to them, today, this the poor, this the oppressed, this is the brokenhearted. I'm here today for them to fulfill scriptures. Am I making some sense today? That means that when we read the Bible, we make it alive. So our works are to make God's work, God's word alive to people. Am I making some sense? For instance, if you struggle to become a good father, you're showing kids, you're showing your children that God can have fathers on earth to take care of their children. Let's I want us to go and do something. Are you here with me? We're talking about the works that I do, they shall do so. Let's go and read that remaining thing, Isaiah 61. You know, it's a little bit kind of emotional for me. Let's go down there, Isaiah 61, that he quoted when he was talking. In fact, you see, that Isaiah Jesus quoted, someone told me that when he saw Jesus, Jesus told him this, that everywhere Jesus went, first thing he would do is to open Isaiah 61 and tell them. And I agree with that because Acts said the same thing too. So this is what Christ was quoting everywhere. Let's go and see it now. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord goes upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim what? And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Next verse. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. What kind of vengeance? To comfort all who mourn. Now, you will see something interesting in all these verses. The target of Jesus is for those whose lives have been battered, kicked around, and struggling. If you ever live long enough on this planet, you will see that life is difficult here. Am I right? Some of us, we don't feel that as much because God has helped us to raise ourselves up. And God has raised us through certain people too. But life can be very typically rough. The average person on our planet today is struggling. Are you hearing me? If you are a graduate, listen to me. If you are a graduate, you are among the top 10% of this planet. You don't want to believe that. If you're a graduate, you went to post-secondary school, you are a top 10% of this planet. Rest 90%. No. To comfort all women, let's keep reading. To console them, women in Zion. To give them beauty. Can you see all this? It works. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And it be called the trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. And it be glorified. You can see all this drive. Jesus, came from heaven. But it's involved. I mean, the day I saw this, it's like blew my mind. Jesus woke up every day to attend to needs. Every day. Thousands. And there was no Sabbath for him. Because on the Sabbath day, that's where I go to work. Let's keep reading. See. Now, those people that I walked upon, that have been the mourners, the people that are tired and worn out, when they walk on them, they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall repair, they shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities. So Christ is after cities. Are you hearing me? See, moment he left, you know what he did? He traveled all over Galilee, and then toward the end, he narrowed himself down to Jerusalem. In fact, when he was entering Jerusalem, the Bible said they were coming with a lot of hosanna. But you know what he did? He just burst out in tears. He got over the city and he wept. He said, I wish you know when day of visitation. You'll be destroyed. You'll be wiped out. But you know what he did? He knew that will happen to them. So he set up the church to take care of things before that will happen. If you look at your Bible, the book of Acts, you see cities. Well, that's where the big things happen. To repair the ruined cities. And our cities are ruined today. Cities are ruined. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also. Wow. So, life is just bigger than, I want to pass my exam, I want to rise up, I want to be at the top. In the sense of Jesus, rising to the top is to give lifting hands. That's what Joseph said. Don't cry over what you have done to me. God brought me here to save a remnant on the earth. So, I'm trying to tell you today that the works are critical to Jesus. That's why you are left here. He wants you to do what he will do. Or what he's doing. And please relax. It's not just you. The Father is going to walk it through you. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? The Father is going to walk it through you. So it's not going to just be you alone, struggling by yourself. But God's going to walk with you. God's going to take what you have and himself. Let's go back to John 14, verse 12. For verily, verily I say to you, he who believes in me, if a believer here, the works that I do, he will do also. Don't worry about your condition, your level of education, your level of degree, whatever it is. Esther was an orphan. God put her in places to make things happen. Ruth was out, a widow. David was a farmhand, a shepherd boy. He who believes in me, the works that I do, you do also. So Jesus is thinking about the works of your life. Not just your existence. Are you hearing me? That's why I call you trees. It's called you trees. Trees are planted for fruits. Am I right? We are going to see that later in John 15, talking about fruits seriously. So your life is about what you do. Yeah, who you are is important. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. What else do we sing? That song we sing. That's we dance to like that by the sister from Christ Embassy. Huh? That's not the one that when we sing like this, that we sing with walking in power. I know who I am. So let's see what you do too. Hello? Yes, you know who you are, but how do I know who you are? By the fruit of the works you break out. That's what we know. Hallelujah. The works that I do, he will do also. God is engaging our life. He wants our life to be engaged. Remember, those of us who are coming late, let's go. I said at the beginning, what about life? If life is just about coming here, get born, go to work, have children, die, that's what it does. And we read this in last book in the Bible. Let's remind those who just came a little bit late. Revelation 14, 13 and 14. Am I right? Let's read it. Give us on quickly. Verse 13 first, okay? Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who died in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they live very long, 130 years. No, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Something will transcend this planet, and our existence is our works. And Christ said, the works that I do, you shall do also. Are we here? Now, I know the way you are feeling. Pastor, don't you understand this country? Don't you understand life? Me too. But I have a mandate, I must tell you. Are you hearing me? I just can't. If a house is burning, and I say, because you are sleeping, I must not announce. That won't do us good. You know that in the old Greek society, the Greek kings, listen to this, citizen Greek, they will employ a comedian. Comedians came from there, that we do today. They employ comedians. They wake up the king every day, and this is what he said. Oh, king, you shall die. Huh? Can you imagine the first thing you have in the morning? And you are paid to do that as a comedian. So, think about your life. Because sometimes life is lived better when we start from the end at the beginning. Are you hearing me? Let me explain that. If you know that you must pass this exam, you wake up every day that you're going to do something about it. So I'm not talking about you dying tomorrow. No, I'm talking about us living. But this, what we are going to rest from at the end of our lives is from labors. And the works will follow us. Just imagine. What will follow you? You see, when people are going to burial ground and the motor has, you see all these cars following them, different cars following them, go to the burial ground. But we are not going to the burial ground. We are going to heaven. Praise God, somebody. We are going to where we belong forever. And what follows us there is our works. Praise God, somebody. Are we here? Are we here? So, let's not talk about that very well. So, it's about works. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this will he do, because I go to my Father. So, has he gone to the Father? He's with the Father now. Agreed. So, what I need now, you will see, Christ will now discuss three things, we are going to see now, that will help and aid and assist you in doing these works of Jesus. And you will see that repeated all through discussion to the end. Let's start. After saying this, what did he say next? Look at it. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Next verse. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Please look at this verse. This verse never said, if you ask me. Give us verse 13. It didn't say, whatever you ask me in my name. It didn't say that. It said, whatever you ask in my name. I'm not confusing you. Let me show you the difference. John 16, 23. You see the difference. And in that day, can you look up? Everybody, can you look up? In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. So this is prayer. Hello? This is prayer. That other one is not prayer. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Go back to John 14, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. You know, I was thinking about this. Everybody, are you here? I was thinking about whatever you ask. It's more demanding and authoritative kind of a thing. The other one is you are talking to the Father in the name of Jesus. But this one is different. Please, I need your attention now because this is so important. I began to look for, why ask in his name? The first that hit me was, remember Goliath? Remember Goliath? When Goliath came out to do all his wonderful things, David said, you come against me with sword and stick, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Are we everybody? So we see it. Let's go and see it. First Samuel 16. Hallelujah. Whatever you demand in my name. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Okay, let's find the verse. Verse 45. Then David said, 1 Samuel 16, 45. Then, give us on the screen. 1 Samuel 16, verse 45. Okay. Let's wait. All right. The computer is trying to do the work. Hopefully, wake up. Okay, let me read. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword. 1 Samuel 17. Sorry. Okay. Oh, that's what you are struggling with. Is that what you are struggling with? Ah, okay. You should have spoken up. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. Oh, you see that? The devil, let's say Philistine was coming to do his work, to wreak havoc in Israel. But he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I'm asking myself a question. I mean, that's the first time we saw somebody coming against in the name. Let's look at Luke 10, saying the same thing, almost the same thing. Luke 10, verse 17. I hope I'm correct with that one. Yeah, that's it. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are what? You know what done on me? Please listen, everybody. You know what done on me? It done on me that this is not a game. This is a battle. The poor, the oppressed, the brokenhearted, somebody's behind all that. His name is the devil. Am I right? Those things just don't happen. Devil creates all that mess. He said, the devil, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you see anything ruined today, the devil is the engineer of the ideas and the execution of it. And don't you ever think it's going to lay low and let you have your way. Huh? It's going to make things more miserable. It's going to try and block this thing. If we want to wreck more lives, destroy more people, so that we will be overwhelmed. By the way, then I remember this verse, 1 John 3, verse 8. Even about the master himself. Take a look at this. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Can you read the last part with me? Let me hear your voice, everybody. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy. So, when you are attacking poverty, when you are attacking brokenheartedness, you are actually destroying the works of the devil. So, you're going to have to come with a bigger name than yourself. This is just more than NGO here. Are you hearing me? I'm taking one camera at a corner and collect money from America. No. This is real life. This is enemy territory. You know, to be honest with you, every person you help, you hinder the devil. Are you hearing me? Every time you help someone, you hinder devil's work. And so you have to do it more than just natural thing. You have to come in the name of the Lord. Are you hearing me? So Jesus said, look here, what you are dealing with here is more than yourself. My name is available to you. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? My name is available to you. I'm not asking you to go in your own strength alone, like Goliath. You know, Goliath had all the resources by himself. He was giant, he was big, he had gotten all the resources. But David came with only a sling in his name. Praise God, somebody. So our five loaves can feed 5,000. Praise God, somebody. We will not just wait and think that we don't have much. I didn't go to so much school. I'm not a billionaire. I'm not a millionaire. No. Whatever I have, I come in the name of Jesus. If I can only feed one widow in the name of the Lord, I've done very far than having 10 billion. Am I making some sense today? Taking the name of Jesus. Said, whatever you ask in my name. So I'm not asking you to live on your own resources. Come to me. Look at it. There were 5,000 guys beside their wives and children that are not eating for 3 days. Jesus asked, feed them. He said, Master, where are we going to buy bread to feed them? Then Andrew said, there's a boy here with five loaves and two fishes. What would that do in his name? He said, bring it to me. He blessed that and he said, go. I could imagine Peter going like this. Lord, are you sure? Go in my name. Do something. Don't wait till you have something big where you have the camera. Forget the camera. Heaven's camera is on you. Praise God, somebody. So the little you can do anywhere you can, just do that. 1,000, 100 naira, whatever. Do it in his name. Matthew 10. Let me get something across to you today. Stop getting overwhelmed. Ah, Pastor, who can solve all these human problems? The body of Christ can solve it if all of us tie it up together. We don't have to wait for someone to come from the sky. We just do our part. Are we there, Matthew 10? Praise the Lord. Now, you will not believe this. You will not believe this. How many of you know Guinness? You know Guinness began, started by a Christian, born again Christian. Eh? Pastor? Kilewi? Yeah. Now, this is shocking. All over, was it Scotland where they formed the thing now, one of these countries? They were drinking hard, like what's it called now? Gogoro. So the man said, I'm going to get them to drink something softer, beer. I know you won't believe that. I know you won't believe that. I read the story. That's what you call non-alcoholic beer. I hope you know that. They are the one who put alcohol inside it. I was with one of my friends years ago. I was in the South in Ibadan. She brought out beer. I said we should drink alcohol, non-alcoholic. I said, I'm not drinking. I ain't drinking beer. He said, non-alcoholic. I said, it's beer. It was frothing like that. It was like that. I said, oh. And the guy got take picture on it. Reverend, drink beer, you know. The way, you can't argue alcoholic like non-alcoholic. But see, Guinness produced Guinness so that people can drink something that is non-alcoholic. Was a Christian. Now today, they have taken it and ruined it. That's what the word. You know, Harvard University was a Christian Bible college. Huh? If you go to their original plot, motto, it's about God. Over the years, they've taken it over and do something else with it. No wonder it was so prosperous like that. Christians stepping out to do their little parts. Not waiting for government to do everything. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 10. So in my name. Oh, hallelujah. Are you there with me? Let's look at Matthew 10, verse 40. We just read. Matthew 10, verse 40. He who receives you, excuse me, receives me. So, if I come now, I'm just a young Christian, and I go to my uncle here, and I say, I come in the name of the Lord. Can you just take this from me? Actually, I am not the one. The Lord himself is coming to him. He who receives you, receives me. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me. Pastor, are you sure? Let me give an example. Remember the land of Canaan? God said they should kill everybody there, right? They should kill what? Everybody there. Nobody should live in Jericho. Am I right? But Joshua sent two spies there. And one prostitute received the two spies. And Joshua said, you know, they came back. They said, this woman took care of us. He said, Rahab. And Rahab was spared. She received two spies, but she received the Yahweh of Israel. Are you hearing me? You don't know how powerful you are. You are coming in his name. You are bearing the name of Christ. He who receives me, see, next verse. He who receives a prophet, name of the prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man, name of a righteous man, shall receive a reward. But, next verse, but whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of what? Cold water in the name of a disciple of Christ, as surely I say to you, it shall by no means lose its reward. So there is a prophetic place, as a righteous place, but as a disciple's place, who come in the name of Jesus. Am I making some sense today? So, just saying this, as you go, whatever you need, call it for me in my name. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. If you believe that you want to do something around here, and come in his name, don't come in your own name. Let me tell you something. Can I be honest with you? My nature is the kind of a nature that questions and wonders about things. Honestly, if not this kind of thinking, I don't think I'll pastor a church. I don't think I will do what I'm doing now. To be honest with you, I don't see. I mean, what can you do? Look at this. This is so crazy. No, one day I asked the Lord, can I be honest with you? I said, Lord, I don't understand. When you are here, how did you cope? I mean, thousands upon thousands, devil had maimed, kicked, sick, everything. I just walk away. Then you know the answer I got? If you are Benz, your name is Benz, you made Mercedes-Benz, and you are going on the road, and you see a Benz breaks down, something will move you. If it's Toyota, you may pass by. But if it's a Benz, you made Benz, you know every part in Benz. You know what, and when they are struggling, you can say, hey, stop over there and check it out. The Lord showed me and said, I made them. I knew their potential. I knew their power. I knew their ability. I knew what they could have become as a husband, as a wife, as a children, or as a child. What could become as a worker, as a human. I know what they could be. And I could see them being devastated. He said, I wake up every day. I said, what do you do with all these crowds, some crowds? I said, how far can you go? He said, it doesn't matter. I wake up every day, get back to business. Then I remember that even in life over here, we can't do everything. Dr. Ariba, you cannot make everybody patient well, but you wake up every day, the next patient. Am I right? Am I right? So let's do it in his name. Can I confess? Today's confession. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I just got tired. About doing things good for people, kind of thing, you know? Just do. Somebody's going around the same cycle, you know? Just but am I changing now? Or you give them something, they just say, you know? I just start feeling funny, you know? I see a call, I won't pick it. I see a test, I neglect it. Can I confess? Pastor, you have to come to church? Of course, I've come to church now. I think I'll stay at home like a bachelor. You start praying for me, right? My wife didn't even know, you know. And I have where I give money from. I have account where I give money from. I stop giving from there. Huh? I just stop giving. I just, you know, what can you do, Joe? You know, it's just crazy, man. You know, just, then I start hearing. Why are you doing that? Tired. Why are you tired? I said, I can't see any change. He said, stop looking. Just do it in my name. Just do it for me. Oh, Lord. it came to a critical point about a couple of days ago. I got some texts. Some people just needed some help, and they really need help. But I wonder why they don't change since. I mean, but how can they change? You're a widow with 5 children, or 4 children, or 6 children. Everything you are working for is going down the drain every day. So you know, I said, get that, do that. So I started moving again. I was doing what I could do, but I was losing that. The Lord said to me, if you be willing and obedient, said you are obedient, but you're not willing. I said, okay, back. Now I'm back now, praise God. So this is true, you know, I mean, this is the battle zone of life. Wow. You know. Like you know, today I got a text. Somebody would help, like, you know, said the shop where I am in Lagos, somewhere, they increased the money. Started to get some money. She has some money. And then children, they're in school. Husband is gone. Will you help me one more time? She's not lying to me. I know that. What are you going to do? You know what? The husband was born again. I knew him. He's in heaven now. I knew that. Maybe I'm just playing this drama. He, from heaven, he looks down, and somebody's helping his kids. That's bigger now than just 5,000 naira. Hallelujah. You know, that is affecting everything I do now. Even my wife at home, I don't see her just like my wife anymore. It's a child of God that God is concerned about. See, I'm coming in the name now. Not just only I'm just doing good to somebody. But I'm coming to see that God is concerned about her. She's God's daughter. And what would make God smile? Are you making nothing? Before, I used to claim, she's my wife, so you're also supposed to do something like this. Now, so, this is a child of God in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Am I making some sense tonight? So, whatever you ask in my name, now listen to this. Every time you start thinking like that, heaven will back you with its resources. Are you hearing me? Anytime you start, heaven will just, you see, if you start thinking, in the name of the Lord, I'm going to do whatever I can, things start coming, start shipping. You start seeing God just putting things together. I've seen this happen. Somebody asked me for a help, and I can't help 100%, and I give maybe 20%, and I say, Father, this is what I can do. Before I finish, somebody else, just like that. You know, one guy is just caught in drug addiction and was sending me texts. I want to go to rehab. Please, can you just help me get here? I can just do something right. You know why I'm telling you? I saw the audio message. I didn't want to listen. I just put it there because I got things to do, you know. But about a week later, I just opened the audio message and it was telling me, I met your friend with the drug rehab center and I just didn't have so much to do, but can you, I'm going to do whatever I can to just see that this thing work for my life. I know he has been destroyed by drugs. He's been almost wiped out. And I started feeling sorry for myself that it's a life. You see, cities are today ruining people's life. All these youth, cities are ruining them. They think that something's over there, you know, they want to be an artist. They don't know that they are smoking ganja there. So when they just smoke that ganja, it turns their system, they never recover all lifetime. So we have to do like David. We have to come in the name of the Lord. Take our 2 stones that we can throw and come in the name of the Lord. And we may not even see serious help taking place. We leave it to the master. I had an experience years ago at Iwo. How many of you know Iwo? Okay, Iwo has a suburb called Olubana. My aunt used to stay there with her pastor husband. So I went to see my brother at that time at that suburb. And I was walking on the road. Those are my younger days. And I was walking on the road. And I saw this guy. I just felt like, preach to him. So I just stopped and I said, hey. And I preached to him. He said, look, I'm in a hurry. So I started preaching. And then he said, I'll give my life to Jesus. And I prayed with him. And I left. And he left. And I said he was going for NYC camp. But you know, he gave me his name and where he was going for NYC. So I got to my village. I remember I would lie on the bed, put my feet on the wall by the bedside and just pray for him. Just say, Lord, in your name, I don't know where he is right now, just touch his life. Didn't he gave me a wrong name I was praying with, a wrong address he was going to. But God knew the right name, so he was yelling to the right name. But you know what? Months later, I got from him a letter from him. You know what he wrote in the letter? He said, my name is actually this, because I gave him my address. And I'm going to actually Adamawa, not another place. And he said, you know what? I got to that place, and he wrote there, your seed you planted is bearing fruit. Wow. He said, you know what? I got to the camp and I met Christians. And from there, I was transferred to a particular town where your friend is, who is like your mentor years ago. See, when we start doing things in the name of the Lord, it could just work things and make things happen. Now, that may not make headlines, but it's in heaven, in our record. This is what our life is about. Go back again to 14 Revelation verse 13. Let's read it again one more time. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. One brother caller is a doctor and I don't know where he is now. I was starting out in my Christian life. Things were difficult. My mind was full of all kinds of wrong things in this life. Man, I had one of the worst minds. I went to HSC in Ife. I couldn't find my feet as a Christian. I would go to Christian fellowship. I didn't hear a thing they say. Like, could you hear me? Redemption, righteousness, could you hear me? I just sit down there. They say, are you blessed? What would I say? I'm blessed now. But Brother Kola just came to my aid. He took me and started. He just sit down with me, laugh with me, play with me, shout like that. And you know what? My problem was when I'm in school, I'm okay. But when I go home, I have wolves at home that eat up my faith. Do you know Brother Kola wrote me letters? And you'll not believe this. Those letters were equal to Pauline epistles. They were equal to Paul's letters. When I get home, I'll take that, those letters. I remember asking a question. I said, Brother Kola, they said that we must not watch TV. I didn't know what the Bible said about that. He said, you know what? Don't worry about that. Nothing's wrong with TV. It's what is on it that matters. I said, whoa, that's true. Now, he came to see me one time in medical school. I never seen him again. He said, the world is waiting for him in heaven over my life. So whatever we do in his name goes very far. John 14, 12 again. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than this he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, next verse, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What's the next? I got 3 or 4 minutes more. Start getting recorded today. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Come on, ask me. Don't depend upon yourself. Your energy, your power, your strength. Just come ask me. And you know what? I have seen people that I've seen people that don't have so much power. They do wonderful things for Christ. Wonderful things. Wonderful things. They just do whatever they can do in his name. What can you do in his name? Cup of cold water. 2 slingshots, 2 stones, 5 stones. By the way, he got 5 stones. Only 1 kid Goliath. What his size? Doesn't matter. Let me round up before she comes out for next week. Next verse, verse 15. If you love me. I told you, I said, 3 things matter to Christ about your life here on earth. Number 1 is his name to help you, to open to you heaven's resources. 2nd, it's common. So if you love me, do what? If you love me, I've never heard of love language before. I've never heard of love language. Somebody's love language is cook for me. If you do something, serve me. That's you love me. Some other people, talk to me. Another one, think with me. But you know the love language of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commands. That's his love language. You love me? Don't tell me. Just keep my command. Treasure my command. Take them serious. Take them serious. So we're going to see that. We have seen his name. Now we're going to see his commands now. If I just take his command, they are so powerful. They are so life-changing. Look at next verse. Let's round up. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. You can see those three things there now. My name, my commands, the Spirit. Those three major things characterize a Christian life here on earth. The name of Jesus, the words of Jesus, his command, and then the Spirit of God. Jesus will spend the next two chapters discussing all this. We are going to dig into it. We don't have time right now. Today. So we're going to stop there. Start. Can we come and read? But so you can see that if a Christian will thrive today, the name, his commands. Oh, yeah, you're going to read some wonderful things. For instance, let's just jump to verse 21. See something over here. It's amazing. Let's jump. He who has my commands, my commandment, and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now listen, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. I saw this verse years ago. I said, I got it made. I saw it. I don't have to worry so much about getting close to God. Just take his commandment. Keep them. He said, I will love you. And then I will manifest myself to you. Wow. I've been looking for that for several years. I want to see him manifesting in my life. Spiritually, emotionally, financially. And I've seen God doing that. I've seen wonderful things taking place. God just manifesting by keeping. I wish why they don't tell us this. See, look at next verse quickly. Yeah, coming up now. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Then he said this next verse. I love it. This verse has been my kind of playground for years. As I said, if anyone loves me, what will he do? Now, you can see the reason why I'm serious with the word of God in church. The word of God. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Listen, my Father will love him, and we, the Father, the Son, will come to him and make our home with him. Can I surprise you? That word for home, same word for mansion in verse 2. Wow. God's going to take his home, heaven, and make his home with you. Whoa. If God moves in, the Father and the Son move in, bills will be paid, won't he? Fears will be dispelled, won't he? Confidence will be there. You see, Christians are going all over the world looking for one program, one seminar, one conference to get this. No, he said, just keep my word. Take my word serious. If anyone loves me, he will keep treasure my word. We'll see that next week thoroughly well. I will come. My Father will come. You will hear the Father and the Son in your house. Say, we will come to him and make our home. Can you imagine God, the Father, the Son, living in your house and demons come overnight to come and give you nightmares? Ha ha! My Father will love him. And we, the Father, the Son, will come to him, not to church. That him and make our home. Make our home. Can you imagine? The Father, the Son, in your house, with you. I don't know how to say it, but one of my friends told me this. He's a pastor in town. His mother-in-law will register high blood pressure and diabetes. And when she comes to the house, you don't see anything like that. Huh? So you go and register all kinds of sickness. When she comes to the house, stay with them in the house. It's not, the wife is a doctor. The husband is a pastor. So they say, they told me, do you know what the mother-in-law did? She just moved in. guess what? Sister Lord, move them. You know why I'm feeling sick? Just come and stay with him because God is in this place. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know some of these houses, you go like that, you just feel like running away. This is not the house, man. All the noise and all the trouble. Some other house, you enter there, you feel like not going away. My wife and I, we come to our house and say, man, I want to come back here. Praise God. Just sit down with us. Just sit, talk with us. You are carrier of God, the Father and the Son. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Praise God. Let's stop there. We'll continue next week. It's a beautiful thing. Start coming. Are you ready to read? We are reading our book. What's the book? What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and the Victory Lost. Okay, all right. Okay. Chapter what today? Chapter 4. All right, great.
Good evening, church. Be sure no doubt or unbelief is permitted in your life. A doer of the word. People misinterpret what Jesus was teaching about the houses built on rock or sand. Jesus said, Matthew 7:24-27, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. The same storm came, the same rains fell, the same floods came, the same winds blew. One house fell, one did not fall, because it was founded upon a rock. Some say, Jesus is the rock, and I'm built on Jesus. No, we see people who are saved and built on Jesus, the rock, going down everywhere. That is not what Jesus is saying in this passage. Jesus is talking about being a doer of the word. It is the one who does the word of God who stands. The doer of the word is the person who stands. The good fight. It is not always the easiest thing in the world to live the faith life. There is a fight to it. The Bible plainly says, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. I think some people read the first word, fight, quit right there, and started fighting. Some must think it said, fight other churches and fellow Christians. I have seen preachers pull off their coat, loosen their tie, roll up their sleeves, and say, I am going to fight the devil. I thought to myself as I sat there, there wouldn't be any match for him. Why do they want to fight him anyway? Jesus already has defeated him. I have seen them go through the same motions and declare, I'm going to fight sin. Again, I thought, why do they want to do that? Jesus already has cured it. He put it away. Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26. There is no sin problem. There is a sinner problem. Get the sinner to Jesus and that cures that. He already has cured the sin problem. We used to see signs and advertising campaigns saying, help fight polio. Then they found a vaccine. So we don't see that now. They are not fighting polio anymore. They have something for it. We still see signs and campaigns asking for money to help fight cancer. They have not yet found a cure for cancer. There is no use in fighting sin. Jesus is the cure. Don't preach sin. Preach the cure. What fight are we supposed to get into? The good fight of faith. Notice the word good. It does not say fight the bad fight of faith or the evil fight of faith. Keep that in mind while we go way back in the Bible to when Israel came out of Egypt and up to the border of Canaan's land from a place called Kadesh Barnea. They sent 12 spies to spy out the land. The Bible says that 10 of the 12 brought back an evil report, Numbers 12:32. Their report was a report of doubt. There are giants in the land, they said. We are as grasshoppers in their sight. We can't take the land. The Bible calls their report an evil report. It was a report of doubt. Two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, brought back a good report. What was their good report? Sure, the giants are there, they said. They did not deny that fact. Sure, in our own eyes, we are as grasshoppers in their sight, but our God is well able to deliver them into our hands. Let us go up at once and possess it. Faith always has a good report. Now, come on over in the New Testament to 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. You have to fight to maintain a good report. It is not easy to do so when the giants are standing there looking you in the face and you look like a grasshopper in their sight. Yet you must maintain a good report. The only thing that will put you over is maintaining that good report. Fight the good fight. Faith always has a good report. If you have any other kind of report which is not good, then you are not in the faith fight. How are you doing? Well, I woke up this morning with my lumbago giving me fist. I told John before he went to work, I've had everybody to pray. I've gotten in Brother Egan's healing line. I guess it's just not God's will to heal me, you know. It just doesn't ever work for us. That is not a good report. In the face of seeing defeat, when faith seems weak and victory seems lost, fight the good fight of faith. Fight to maintain a good report. Do not tell people how you feel. Do not tell people about your aches and pains. How are things, they may ask. Answer with a good report. Bless God. God is on our side. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Get in on the right fight. Fight the good fight of faith. You have to fight to maintain a good report right in the face of adverse circumstances. I was in St. Louis at a full gospel businessmen's convention, teaching on faith in the afternoon. A woman stopped me in the foyer of the hotel where the meetings were held and asked if she could speak to me. She said, I want you to promise me something. I said, I won't promise something when I don't know what it is. She began to cry. She said, I'm a widow. I have a 15 and a half year old son and Brother Egan. I can't do a thing with him. He won't go to church. He runs with a gang and sometimes he doesn't get in until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm afraid he's going to get involved with dope. I lie awake at night just waiting for the phone to ring and someone to tell me he's been arrested. I want you to promise me you will pray for him every day. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said it purposely to get her attention. She looked at me, startled and said, "You are not?" I said, "No, I'm not. In fact, I'm not going to pray for him at all, not one single prayer." "Well," she said, "I asked, our eyes grew big. I had been preaching on faith and prayer." I explained, "You see, it wouldn't do any good. You would nullify the effect of all my praying. You will keep on telling him he never is going to amount to anything. He never will make it. He will wind up in a reform school or the penitentiary. He said, "How did you know?" "I had been talking that way," I said, "because it turned out that way. That's the reason he did. You have been saying the wrong things. You didn't have the right report." She said, "What am I to do?" I said, "When he was small, you should have trained him. Now, this has gone on so long. You must leave him alone. Get off his back." She said, "When he was small, I wasn't even saved myself. I didn't go to church." I said, "Don't even ask him to go. He resents it. He has gone so far now. You had better leave him alone. Quit nagging him. Don't say to him one single time, 'You are going to the reform school,' or 'You are going to wind up in the penitentiary,' or 'You never will make it,' or 'You are a bad boy.' And at night, when he's gone and you don't know where he is, quit lying there saying, 'I'll just wait until the phone rings. I know he's going to get into trouble.'" "No," I said, "don't say one word to him, but do say this aloud: 'Lord, I surround him with faith.' You see, you have been surrounding him with unbelief." Most people do that. They surround their children with unbelief all their lives. I always surrounded mine with faith. Say, "Lord, I surround him with faith. I do not believe." Your head won't agree to it. Your head will think you are lying. But say, "I do not agree that he's going to reform school. I do not agree that he's going to wind up in the penitentiary. I do not agree that he is bad. I believe he will be saved. I believe it will turn out right." And keep saying that. Keep saying it until you convince yourself. Oh, how you won't believe it at first, because you have been programmed negatively. Everything in this world is programmed negatively. Newspapers rarely report anything good. It is always bad. 2 men killed, 4 automobile accidents, a plane crashed. If they do report something such as someone's been appointed or elected to a government office, they always tell what is wrong with them. No one knows anything good about them. They always tell why that person won't make it. Satan is the god of this world. Satan is a negative god. Everything in this world is negative. We are in the world, but we are not of it. Yet even spirit-filled Christians sit around and soak up all the negative junk on television and in newspapers. When I was pastoring, before 1949, we didn't have television, but we had radio. One lady in my church stood up and requested prayer for Ma Perkins, the heroine of a daily soap opera. She said, "I think we ought to pray for Ma Perkins. She's going through a trial." She listened to it until she thought it was real. They are always going through a trial on soap operas. Something bad is always happening. We have to get off that negative side and get over on the positive side. I said to this woman, "You won't believe it at first. Your head won't let you. But begin to program yourself positively. Keep saying that about your son. If you keep saying it long enough, eventually you will start believing it." I walked off and left her. 15 months later, I was back in St. Louis for the Full Gospel Mission Convention. When I finished teaching the first session, a lady came running up to the platform.
Brother Egan, do you remember me? I said, no, I really don't. I usually remember faces, but she didn't even look familiar. She said, remember I came up to you last year over at that other hotel wanting you to pray for my boy? I said, yes, I remember now. She said, I was really a little angry with you. I had to repent. God forgave me. But, you know, I did what you said to do. Oh, I want you to know it wasn't easy. I didn't tell you it was easy. No fight is easy, I said. She said, I had to fight. I had to fight myself, my natural inclinations, my natural mind, my flesh. But I just left that boy alone. I didn't say anything to him about going to church. I didn't nag him, and I had a time. I was used to lying in bed, worrying and saying, that phone is going to ring any minute. He's in with a gang. He'll get into dope. He's going to the penitentiary. But I wouldn't just bite my tongue. I would say to myself, don't you say that. You stop that. Then I will get over on the positive and say, no, no, no. I don't believe he's going to reform school. I don't believe he's going to the penitentiary. I believe he will be saved. I would say that as bravely as I could. And then I had to fight the devil. Something would say to me, you poor thing. Claiming to be a Christian, and now you've gone to lying. You don't believe that. Can't you see the gang he's running with? You know where he's going to wind up. I had a battle. It took several months before I could really say that and believe it with any conviction. But one Sunday morning, he came in at 4 o'clock. I got up to fix a little bite to eat before going to Sunday school and church, and he got up too. He said, Mom, I believe I'll eat breakfast with you. While we were eating, he said, I believe I will go with you this morning. I hadn't mentioned it for months, I said to him, and I was surprised at myself. Now, son, you didn't get in until 4 o'clock. Maybe you ought to rest and not go. He said, no, I want to go. I said, are you sure? He said, yes, I'm going to go, and we went. The next week, he was out until 4 o'clock on Sunday morning again. But again, he got up and came to breakfast table. He said, I'm going to Sunday school and church with you this morning. His mother said, son, you were out late. Maybe you ought not go. He said, no, I want to go. So they went. Then, on that second Sunday night, he said, I believe I will go with you tonight. He had been busy running and playing all afternoon, she said. Son, you have to go to school tomorrow. You probably ought to stay at home and sleep. No, he said, I want to go. He went, and when the altar call was given, without his mother asking him, he marched down front and was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. She said to me, he was 100% for the devil before. Now, he is 100% for God. He is on fire for God. I want to thank you, Brother Egan, for putting me on the right track. I've got a brand new boy. I said, praise the Lord. She shook hands with me, turned, and walked away 2 or 3 steps. Then she turned around and came back. She said, I want to tell you something else. I said, what? She said, he has a brand new mama. I don't worry anymore. I don't worry about anything. Sometimes I almost pinch myself and say, is this really you? I used to talk so negatively. I was always worrying and talking doubt and unbelief. I was always painting a gloomy picture. But now, I am happy all the time. Praise the Lord. I never worry. I said, I'll tell you something else, sister. You look so much younger, I didn't even recognize you. Fight the good, not the bad. Fight of faith. Caleb and Joshua brought back a good report.
Not today. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Thank you, Sister Kemi. Thank you. Hallelujah. I like that. Don't like that testimony. So quit speaking the wrong thing. Praise God. Quit speaking the wrong thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, sometimes some of these bad boys come to church. Huh? And then you just want to last on them. You don't know where you're coming from. 4 a.m. in the morning, coming to church. Praise God. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. So let's start speaking the right things. Amen. Can you just close your eyes right now and say, Father, thank you for my life, my family. Thank you. I stop worrying. You are my heavenly Father. You care about me. You love me. Blessed be your name. Thank you that you said in your word, say to the righteous, he shall be well with him and eat the fruit of his labor. So I speak because I'm righteous by faith. It shall be well with me. My going out, my coming in, my day-to-day activities will yield results. I'm not a failure. My family is not a failure. Thank you that the days ahead of me, they are days of good things. They are days of righteousness. They are days of good works. My life will be a blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you bless your family? If you're married, your children, your spouse. If you're not married, bless your siblings, bless your dad, mom. Say, Lord, I speak your blessing upon them. I speak your blessing upon the work of their hands. I speak your blessing upon their mind, their emotional life, their physical body. And then tell yourself, I welcome the blessing of God. Going out, I welcome God's blessing. Coming in, I welcome God's blessing in the morning. I welcome God's blessing in the evening. I welcome his blessing upon all that I do, all I think, all I perform. Thank you, because whatsoever I do shall prosper. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Let's give our offering. It's just a wonderful thing tonight. I want each of us to go home tonight that we should speak positive things about our lives, what we do, and our loved ones. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's speak over their life. In fact, this morning I had to go and dig out my confession again and read them out loud. Praise God. Hallelujah. And sometimes you just keep quiet too long and you think too much. But life doesn't change by what you think. It changes by what you say. So you say those words to yourself. Say those words to yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Oh, there are troubles. The Lord's with me. He said, it's my very present help in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All these young people over here, I say, hey, will I ever get a job in this country? You know, last Sunday in the third service, you know what we did? We had a strange service last Sunday in third service. I just came down like that and I said, everybody, do you have fears? Write your fears down. So in this case, start writing fears that parents are going to be afraid of their fears. They wrote things down. And I didn't know what to do with them. So, you know, Shola is here. So I just stand up. I take one and give them answer by the word of God and by the spirit of God. I go to the next person, take that and give them the answer. I say, this is a nice way to preach you. Then take the next one, we talk about it, then go on and talk about it. I say, I have the fear of, will I ever get married? I have the fear of, will I ever get a job? I have the fear of the future. I have all kinds of fears. I just want to say, I have the fear that I may wind up with sexual immorality. I want the fear. So we just start. We had a beautiful time, didn't we? Praise God. I was thinking of making things to the adult service too. Yes? You know, we read this verse, Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and set me free from all my fears. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's help these young ones. Hallelujah. One of my daughters asked me sometimes, she said, Daddy, are you sure I'm going to make it? I said, double sure. Because the Bible says, I've been young, now I'm old. I never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed. I said, I'm righteous, and you are my seed. Praise God. Pastor, how can you say that? Not because I'm a pastor, the Bible says so. Hallelujah. Another one came and said, Daddy, they said, the altars of your parents. I said, we have no other altars. I said, I'm your dad. I'm a child of God. I work with God. There's no strange altars. Mm-mm. I don't cast worm. Praise God. Let's go home. Get up on your feet. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song. Interesting. On the mountain, in the valley, on the land, yes, Lord. On the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and who's your portion? The Lord is my in the land of the living. Portion in the land of the Lord is good. Now close your eyes and lift your hands. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. With my whole heart. I will praise the Lord. Bless your people. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Tell somebody beside you, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you for coming.